Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right. Well, we're going to get into the stupidest thing I've ever done, which most of you have not heard before. And I'll talk to you about many other things under the sun, including why I never enlisted in the military. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. 267 million Facebook users had their names, IDs, phone numbers exposed, making them targets for spam, phishing scams, and identity theft. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. It's 2020, people. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number on sale, or for sale, I should say, on the dark web. Oh boy, don't let that happen. Protect yourself, protect your identity. If you become a victim of identity theft, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it, but it won't happen because you'll have LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock and see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, political consultant Mike Murphy, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, still devastated about the Patriots' elimination, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. They're trying to get them in to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that. How about you? Just take a moment, hit the little share button on your phone or your smart device there. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
100% bullshit.
Motor City Madman.
Saw him trending today on Twitter. I was nervous. Like, no, Ted left us. It wasn't the case.
Oh, did he have some thoughts on
things going on? No. George Lopez made the joke that people got upset about, and people pointed out that Ted Nugent made the same, similar joke about Obama.
George Lopez made a joke that people got upset about.
I guess so.
And then Nugent.
No. And then people pointed out that said that he told Obama to suck his machine gun or something.
We're
cut his head off. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all silliness.
Again, I tell you, man, we're in some real weird waters here because I've now found myself walking out of the Laugh Factory at night and the TMZ camera gal was there, and
saw that.
And they're, you know, they start asking you stuff about Kaepernick or something like that, and you're like, oh boy, I don't know if I want my kids endangered. I want to see like a bunch of people with pitchforks and stuff. Like I want to make a joke, yeah. but people are so insane now with words, which is I guess again it's we're out of problems. I don't think words
are we
well we're out of problems in this we're at a we need here's where we're at. Our brain is wired for problems. Indeed. We as human beings are wired for problems. We must set aside X amount of our brain's power to figure out how to survive. Or how to thwart something, or stave something off, or a winter, or a bobcat, or food, or shelter. Yeah, where I like to think of myself as a humper gatherer. But
what do you think I said?
Oh, I thought you said hunter.
You play tape?
Oh, yeah. No, I just sort of wait around. I call Postmates, and then I hump, and then I go out and gather up the gals, and then I hump them. We have X amount carved out for fight or flight, just X amount. And we're now in a weird place where I've always talked about a lot of air conditioning and a lot of insulation and a lot of crumple zones and airbags and stuff like that. And we're kind of have this big chunk of our brain that needs to make some hay out of this stuff.
And create some conflict.
And so we've filled it up.
Our brain's trained to respond to conflict.
Well, I mean, it's like you take the topic of racism.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's solve it.
Well, I believe it's solved in the sense that here's a story that should be empowering to people. I was traveling around with my daughter and my son yesterday. We're driving around, and my daughter said she has a boyfriend, and her boyfriend is going to come over.
Oh wow!
God.
And
why are your cameras there?
Very brave boy.
And I was like, "Well," and she's like, "Dad, don't talk to him.
Don't embarrass me."
And
it's a sitcom episode.
Whenever one of Natalia's little friends like jumps in the car, I'm like, "Hey, what do you do? What do your parents do? How you, what kind of student are you? Tell me about your life. What's your mom? My mom works for her. My dad works for wherever. And what do they do? And then when did you? You know, my daughter hates it." She hates it. The only thing
she
hates,
wants to set it to Silent Ride.
Schuber.
The only thing she hates more, Schuber. The only thing she hates more than that is me dancing like an idiot when girls are playing their stupid music.
Well, you're driving, it's the safety issue.
But I got to tell you, I'll circle back to this, but I've never had a better old guy sort of moment living through my young loins moment, which was, I was driving Natalia and two of her 13-year-old friends on Saturday. I took them to the snow.
I'm on a real trip.
Once a year, usually I take the girls. Sonny does enough going to the comedy clubs and go watch football and stuff like that. Yeah. Natalia wants to go to the snow.
Did you go to Big Bear or where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to Big Bear.
Cool.
And I put all the girls in the truckster and we took them. I was taking them to the snow. Nice. And at some point, Natalia wanted to hear her music through the Bluetooth and the whatever in the truckster. And I said, yeah, okay, give me your phone. Or she took the cord or whatever. Oh, and she started playing Fergalicious.
Okay.
By Fergie.
It's an old school for her.
Yeah, well, her and I used to dance to that one. Sure. And they're just sitting there, and we're driving, and she's doing the... Now, ironically, Fergalicious is all about how hot she is and about how the boys want to come up to her.
But you can't get none.
Can't get none. Yeah, you want some. Those are all my songs. Girl, you want some of this dick? You can't have none. Listen up, y'all,
because this is it. Can we get that clean, please?
Yeah, I was going to say. Banging is
delicious. So...
definition make them boys was she even born
she makes the
came
boys go loco.
2006, this is her birth year.
Right, she's up in the gym getting her workout on.
Boys and come and go like seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that shit is
fictitious. I blow kisses. She blows kisses. Them boys on rock, and they be lying. So I had the greatest moment of my adult life. So it's about how hot Fergie is and about all the boys want her, right?
Yeah. It was a massive hit.
And at some point, my daughter went, hey, didn't Fergie, like, try to get your phone number at a party? And I was like, God damn, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I am now officially the coolest dad on this mountain. Yes, this chick who's singing about all the dudes coming up and they can't have none.
Sorry.
Yes,
Carola.
Tried to get some.
I was at a party and she wanted some. And I know she wanted some because Lynette came into the room and told her to get out. Like,
my God.
She literally, like, drove her off.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Beat it, skank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the kids go wild?
No, because we started exploring. She's working on her fitness up in the gym. So I was like, well, now, Natalia, what if Fergie was your mom? She's like, that'd be cool.
Oh, no.
I'd be, yeah.
Sure would.
And I said we'd probably be living in Florida. And she's like, yeah, so what?
Sunny there.
And then what? Where would Sunny be? And then like, I could. She'd be out on the road. We'd be in Florida. She'd be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it was the first time that I think my daughter and her friends were sort of old enough to figure out, like, yeah, mommy was there. And then we were at a party. And mommy and daddy weren't married yet. But I knew... Stacy Ferguson from Wild Orchid.
That's right.
The band.
And Kids Incorporated.
The girl band that used to come on MTV and somehow ended up at a party that she was at some point. And I guess she, you know.
Hey.
And Lynette told her to pound sand.
She was like, we were at a party in like the Hollywood Hills. I remember running into her like, oh, it's Stacy from Wild Orchid. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they were on MTV's Loveline 2 months earlier. Like, hey, how's it going? How's the Wild Orchid going? And it was like we went upstairs in some Hollywood Hill house or something.
Part of the story didn't make it.
And
into the car on that mountain.
We were like standing.
We adjourned to the bedroom.
I can't even remember if we were in a room or upstairs or whatever. But at some point, Lynette found us, and she just told her like to buzz off, like get out, and go find your own man.
That, you know what? That actually makes Lynette the coolest person in the world.
She's like Karen at the buzzer. Get your own goddamn man.
So,
what was the woman's name?
Oh God,
something Sahoa.
What show?
You have a whore living in your building.
Oh, Goodfellas. Oh, Karen, right. Yeah. Karen, I'm hitting the buzzer with the Gumar's place. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's up there cooking meth. All right, right.
Whatever her name was. Michelle in 5B is a whore. Whatever her name was.
All right, took me a second. So there's that awesome story.
That's good.
The other thing, so here's why we're race. All right, I'm going to circle back. We need to feel a certain amount racist. We need to have a certain amount of fear. We need to feel a certain amount of danger.
Yeah, fear of others, fear of other things. Sure.
Racism is, we've had a black president for two terms. It's not what it was. Now, it's not what it was, but we're making it that. It's a lot of talk, you know, white men, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just, we've never talked about something more that sort of exists less right now, practically, than racism. Mm. There's people of color all over the place. They're all doing what they want to do. And it essentially is a non-issue. But it's brought up more and more and more. It's just we have a need to fill a void. And I'll tell you, I know it's done. I was, so Natalia has her boyfriend was going to come over. And I was like, all right, I need to talk to him. And she's like, well, why?
He's black.
And I'm like, what's his sign? What's his zodiac sign? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, you know his birthday? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, Google it. Found out his birthday. Found out his sign, whatever it was. Found out her sign, whatever it was.
It's
the same sign as mine. I think we're both Geminis, but that's how little I know. But I explained to her that was bad because he had a bad moon rising and they didn't work well. And he was an Aquarius and she's a Gemini and she could drown.
It'll
because
never
that's,
work.
The, sure. that's the aqua. Yeah. And then I explained that also with the Chinese calendar, he's the year of the snake and you're the year of the rat.
You can't have that.
And you can't have that.
No.
And I was going on, Sonny was laughing the whole time and she was like, Dad, don't really. And I was like, well, tell me about the guy. And she told me like as much, he's funny.
Sonny must know. Did you press Sonny for details? Like independent third party corroboration?
Yeah, so I started like, yeah, he's a pretty good basketball player, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's how he knows him, blah, blah, blah. Talk. And I explain, look, I'm going to say to him, you know, what's your name? And then he's going to tell me his name. And then I'm going to yell, you speak to me in a clear and present tone, not the voice you use to con drug money off your liberal parents. And she's like, Dad, no. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. She's prepared.
And Sonny's laughing his ass off because he's old enough now to have a laugh. Yeah.
Have you met Sonny's boyfriend?
Brian, please. By the way, they're Gemini. Gemini's twins. That's kind of cool.
Guess.
Yeah.
Probably one out of every 12 set of twins, statistically.
I'm confused. They may be Tauruses or something.
May.
You shouldn't know that. No, June.
Well, May's
Taurus. Oh, they're June. Yeah, that's right. I screwed it up. Yeah, that's right. That's right. My sister is May, but she's a Taurus.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm May, but I'm a Gemini. So I had to
figure on the cusp.
I had to ask what the date was because it floats around a little.
So anyway, you're abusing your children.
I'm abusing my children. It was all talk about, I want to know about this guy. I want to know why do you like him? What's he like? What's he good at? How do you know him? Where does he go to school? Back and forth and back and forth. He's got a sense of humor. He plays basketball. Thousand comments back and forth. I walk in. They're sitting in my movie theater. Mm.
They're watching a movie.
Oh, God.
The popcorn and, trick.
And I come walking in there.
Making Ryan, come on. Diner.
he's Asian.
Oh, all right.
How delightful.
Now, Max Papp, before you pump your fist, he's like good Asian, I think. Like he's one of the good, ones. But the point is
good at basketball.
There was no discussion ever.
Never came up
about him being Asian. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of like, what is he? What's he good at? How's his sense of humor? Blah blah blah. And Sonny's sitting there the whole time too. It was a non whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I said to Sonny years ago, or I should say months ago, when we were sitting out, he was talking about the Greek freak, Giannis, whatever, over. Playing in the NBA, I kept talking. I kept saying, the guy's got a 9-foot wingspan. He's got Greek. A 40-foot bar. He kept saying he's Greek. And I'd go, but is he black? And he'd go, he's Greek. And I'd
Did
go,
you hear
yeah,
me?
But he's, but black Greek? And he'd go, I don't know, Dad, he's Greek. Like, he
it's
kept
the name.
Saying that. Like, they literally, this generation doesn't care.
That's great.
They're just not.
It doesn't even, it's not even
here
like.
Or there.
Yeah, right.
Well,
it's not good or bad.
I started to think back on.
Should it be, Gina? Which should it be?
I started to look back on it when I was in the eighth grade, and if I was, and my sister and whatever, my dad, not that my dad would take any interest or ask any questions or drive us together or anything, but if he started saying stuff, I would bring up he was Asian almost immediately just because. This was in my mind. That would be something worth bringing up. Not because it was good or bad. It was just that one of the things. Like, he's Asian. He plays basketball. He's got a good sense of humor. Like, it would come up. It would have to
come
up.
It's a characteristic.
It would just come up in the, here's who you're doing. It doesn't come up. I'm not saying my kids speak for humanity, but I'm saying, like, their generation just doesn't, they're just past it.
No.
It's just not a thing. You know, I'm not super woke. Like, I don't raise my kids. Like, you don't bring up ethnicity. You don't bring up sex. You don't, I'm not woke at all. Neither is Lynette. We don't tell them anything. They just go about their life.
That's
and they're just that way.
I just had this thought. Maybe it was yesterday or the day before. Like, when were you guys, you probably can't remember. When were you guys first aware of race? Like, when you're first aware that, like, oh, that person is, like, a schoolmate is a different race than me or whatever. I can't even remember, like, even because I was vis-a-vis Tessa, you know what I mean? She has like Asian friends or whatever.
Well, I gotta tell you, to be fair, growing up in Kansas, you're aware every time there's not a little white child scampering about.
That's a really good point.
I grew up where I grew up with my mom, and I was sort of taught black people are better. So it's like you should hang out with them. And also it's like, hey, Dr. J was like,
she's a big Lakers fan.
Dr. J was like doing all his dunking and everything. Like the cool athletes were black even back then. Like Dr. J was the coolest dude on the planet, big afro, like dunking the basketball, all the posters and one wears tennis shoes and stuff. So I had and I started playing football at age 7. So if you're going to start playing tackle football, you're just going to have that mixed batch in there no matter what. And my best friends were Henry and James Boyd. I think the Boyd brothers, the Boyd twins, ironically, who lived in like Pacoima or something. They were pretty much in a ghetto. I mean, wherever, I don't know if it was ghetto, but I was the only white person there when I would go hang out with them. And I would sleep over and I'd spend the mom would be making like grits for breakfast and stuff and
lucky dog.
Yeah, it was pretty urban over
Wait,
there.
So that's not the one with the hand surgeon father.
No,
those are the Boyd brothers.
That's Tom. Tom was one of my best friends in high school who's black, who was rich.
Gina, I was getting all the black guys mixed up.
It's funny.
Well, it comes up a lot.
I had two. I had like two of my best friends in high school that weren't like my old school buddies. Who just I had my blue collar buddies like Ray and Chris, and all they did was just beat the crap out of me all the time. I'd beat the crap out of them, but that was all sort of sports and blue collar and beat the crap. I had another part of me that liked writing funny song, writing you know funny parody songs. Mm-hmm. I had the whole blue collar football side, and then I had the funny side.
Sure.
And these guys, like Tom, who was black, who was our rich friend, and then my other intellectual funny friend was Zeb, who had red hair, who was poor. So we flipped the script, and then Zeb and I, the two white guys, found ourselves
going to Tom's house as much as we possibly could because he had a big house. His dad had like one of the first big screen TVs, you know, back
with
when
the blue,
like
green, and red light.
Yeah, it looked like a spaceship.
Yes.
He had a swimming pool in his backyard with a diving board, and we'd get naked and just play chicken on that diving board. We were really more like Roman or Greek or something. Yeah. We just fought. We just fought in the nude. And
crease yourselves up.
We just go down to the end of the diving board, and you'd stand there, and you'd do battle.
Knock one off.
You just do battle. Whoever stayed on the board, standing. Right? And so, So that was Tom. This was Henry and James Boyd, and that's me when I'm 9, looking at a picture. We were probably 8. We won the championship my next year, my Gremlins year, and they basically said, hey, everybody on the team, you know, sit and pose for the picture. I think there was a Polytechnic High in Sun Valley. They must have been somewhere around there.
Sweet jersey.
But they were wearing my Trojans uniform.
Old school.
But they said, you know, pick your best friend from the team or whatever and take a picture. So me and Henry Boyd, who's black, who I was good friends with, the Boyd brothers.
You can't stop bringing it up, can you?
We get
He's
it.
A good friend. He's your friend. We took the picture with our championship, Gremlin championship trophy.
Boy, there is no question that there was no milkman involved in the conception of those children because they have that face.
Yes.
That is an Italian and Sonny. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You look exactly the same.
They're screwed.
Can I ask a related question? This is going to tie all this together, or at least be tangential to all of this. So I'm watching the TMZ thing, very funny, and it made me think. Why this is may have come up the show before, but I can't remember. So if I can't remember, may not ever have. Why didn't you enlist when high school was up? Because you didn't have a lot. You didn't have a lot going on.
Yep.
You were physically adept.
Yep.
They would have offered probably some sort of college money or job training or something.
Your mom would have hated it. That's a plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good. It was peacetime more or less. I mean, there wasn't going to be a war breaking.
Good. It's a good question. Yeah. Maybe we'll play the TMZ clip out in front of the Laugh Factory, and then I'll address the question.
A lot of young people are legitimately concerned about World War III. What do you have to say to the young people?
They shouldn't have to worry about it because I think they're all going to get a note from their doctor that says they have some lactose intolerant or gluten allergy and they can't fight without their service pet. So they're never going to have to go to the front lines.
Could that be a legitimate way to get out of going to war?
People are getting notes online to smoke pot while riding their dog through an airport. You don't think they'd get a note from a doctor that says they couldn't go fight on the front lines?
Yeah. Do you think that would stand?
We're at a point now. Do you know a 19-year-old that could, like, fix a bayonet to a M16 and charge it another guy? I mean, we're not there. I got nephews. These guys are sleeping on a beanbag right now. They're not fighting.
Well said. And she pushed you.
Yeah, so
tough questions.
I was she started with the Kaepernick stuff, and I was like, oh my God. And then it was also like, again, we're in some weird world where everyone goes after everyone, misinterprets everything, or just goes on some kind of weird rampage. I don't know. I was thinking about it earlier today, which is there's plenty of people around who I disagree with, but I just don't feel that I don't feel the need to like go on to their website and yell at them or write comments about them on Twitter. I just feel like they have an opinion. I have an opinion. It's always been that way. You like a band, I like a band, or they like this, or you like that. Look at his food. Look at him. It's like there's some food that I'm I don't like oysters on the half shell.
Mm-mm.
They seem slimy and weird, but I don't think of you as a bad person if you like them. I just mean we have a difference of opinion on oysters. You like them? I don't. Anyway, the enlist. All right. So this is a good point. So when I got out of high school, there was nothing going on for me. And so you think about the military.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple things working against me. First off, joining the military meant you had to get a buzz cut. Like back in the day, when a buzz cut meant something.
That
like
was the barrier to entry?
You look at all, you take a look at, you take a look at like the beginning of a lot of movies about being enlisted in the Army.
Stripes.
From like the 70s or the early 80s or whatever. They show him cutting the guy's hair. So the guy's like, oh, like it meant something. Okay. It wasn't what it is now, where you just shave your head or whatever. There's like
people are lining up to look like Brian.
Keeping that crazy haircut. That was one thing, small, but it was one. The other thing was I was weirdly kind of homesick as a person. I didn't like traveling or being away. Not because I liked my home or my parents. I liked my friends. Uh-huh. My friends raised me, and I grew up in their house. I grew up hanging with these guys like all the time, like really hard. And this is a good point, which is I'm just putting it out there. You people can answer. Send me a tweet, or you guys can think about this. Whenever I would hear about somebody growing up, and I was just talking to one of the girls who I was taking to the snow, and it's like she has an older sister, and she's at Boston College. And I was like, I hear about Dr. Drew going to be a Lord Jeff over there
Amherst.
In Amherst and going across the country. And I would think to myself, I was always kind of homesick. Mm-hmm. Like I would have trouble going across the country or even to Arizona. Like, but I realized for the first time ever, I'm now composing this thought, which is there is a natural growth to you're at home, your mom and dad are there, they raise you, they take care of you, they something, and then you become a teenager and you get a little more independent, mm-hmm. and then at some point you leave the nest, and it's built into us. Mm-hmm. So I understand when these people go to BU, like they're leaving the nest. Now,
what are you talking about?
I was never raised by my parents. Uh-huh. But I was raised by all my friends, and I biologically didn't want to leave my friends. Whereas at 19, you want to leave your mm-hmm. parents, and I realize you have friends, but I was raised by my friends. So I had this
de facto
crazy thing of like, I don't want to leave them. Yeah. They're my friends, whereas you grow into leaving your family and some of your friends, but your friends didn't raise you. I think if your friends raised you, then you don't want to go anywhere. You're like, I don't want to leave my friends, whereas I was happy to leave my family.
Well, and that makes sense, too, because part of the reason that people like to go away to school is almost a rebellion of a, look at me, I'm on my own now. And you'd already been on your own. There was nothing to rebel against.
So I thought about the Army or the whatever. I had come up.
Says the guy who shaved a mohawk for Mr. T.
That's true. That's full 9 months after I'd given up on the Army. And that was for comedy. I had grown up in a very anti sort of Army family. Sure. You know, it was still very liberal and very everything is bad and everything's wrong with the Army and it's killing poor people from around the world and you don't ever want to be in the Army. So there was like a bad stigma. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really kind of what it is now, which is a little prouder or celebrated or whatever. Just kind of had a bad stigma to it.
It was the heels of Vietnam, right?
Well, yeah, coming out of something
less than a decade.
It was technically less than a decade after Vietnam. So it was like, who wants to do that?
And
also, 4 years when you're 18 just feels like a life, like an eternity. I was like toying around with like Coast Guard Reserve. And what if I could do the Coast Guard Reserve? I was trying to be a merchant marine.
What does that mean?
Merchant Marine just means I think you work on a container ship, essentially, and you just go back and forth and drop off, you know, Toyotas
supplies
or something.
Supplies.
Yeah. I wanted to be a Merchant Marine. I knew my mom knew somebody who was a Merchant Marine at some point. He was going to get me in or whatever. I never got in. All of the stuff where, like, I know this guy and he's a union carpenter and he could maybe get you into the union. Nothing ever worked. It never panned out. And I just ended up on a construction site digging ditches. But yes, the Army thing is right. I wish I had done it.
Or military in general.
Yeah, military in general. I wish I'd done it. I knew one guy who did it, Dave, who's the guy who was Citizen of the Year in Santa Monica for...
Oh, he stopped that rape.
Yeah.
I remember that. It's a legendary story.
Yeah. He was asked to leave the Navy.
He was a hero.
But he still got...
He for beating a commanding officer with a shoe.
Wow.
That would be a very sad report to file if you're the commanding officer.
You know, it's not important what happened. Just know he needs to go.
Just listen, I'm in charge here.
Yeah, to be fair to everybody, I think Dave was on the phone in like a bar in San Francisco, and the military guy was out of uniform was telling Dave to wrap it up, and Dave told him to fuck off or something, and next thing you know, he was beating him with a shoe.
So Dave may have only slapped him with a sock. How do you know he was an officer?
Right.
Okay.
The greatest story in the world is this guy was Citizen of the Year. In Santa Monica, this guy is one of the worst citizens you've ever met in your life. The only reason he happened upon the rapist is because the rapist was a guy, may have looked a little more like Henry or James Boyd than Natalia's new boyfriend.
So twins.
He had been in prison for rape for like 30 years and just got released, and he had built up a hankering for more rape.
Qualifications. Rape, murder, arson, and rape. You said rape twice.
I like rape.
Yep, that was his favorite scene from Blazing Saddles, and he just got let out, and he just started raping again. And Dave had a situation with Domino's Pizza where he was on the no-fly zone.
Hey, where are the white women at?
He had sufficiently done whatever it takes.
Wow.
The places that make $7 pizzas and will drop it off to your house at 4 in the morning said no.
Fool me once.
Yeah, like they're literally, there's a picture of him with an X through it on their map. And so Dave wanted a Domino's pizza, but knew they would not bring it to him anymore. So he had a drop house up the street where he would tell them go to that address, and then he would walk over there and just wait. And as they got out of the car, he'd just hand the pizza off to him, I guess.
Like Elaine did with the Chinese food on Seinfeld.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's what Dave did. So Dave was walking back from the drop zone probably with a buzz at 2 in the morning down the alley and saw this rape going.
Jesus.
And jumped on top of the guy and held him in a headlock. And for that, he was Citizen of the Year in Santa Monica. But that guy was that guy went in, got out. But I always remember, like, he had, like, health care and this and that and the benefits and whatever, like, long after. Plus the uniform. I borrowed his sailor uniform to head down to Santa Barbara, to Isla Vista, to party, man, on Halloween. And I met my first girlfriend there because I was wearing that uniform. Oh, man, so,
the uniform.
Makes me go crazy.
Yeah, it was good. It was good times.
Well, there's still time to enlist.
I'll tell you, man. I should have. Let's see. Marco's got something. Oh, Balls in Pennsylvania. Balls. Hey, Balls from Pennsylvania.
Hey, how you doing there, Adam?
What's going on? You want to know what the stupidest thing I've ever remember doing as a kid?
Yes. I'd love to hear that.
I had a young friend when I was really young. I was in Pennsylvania somewhere where you were. I don't know. I was in, I lived in Sea Cane, Pennsylvania, in like weird places. And we were just making whatever, and we found a box of ammunition, bullets, in this guy's garage, just on the shelf, you know. And it was like, we were like 5 or 6, and it was like, hey, bullets, cool, man. Bullets. And we started doing stuff with them. Like, I remember very clearly, like, we put him around the garage floor, and we were kind of riding his bike, like, they were like, don't run over the bullet, don't hit the bullet, you know.
Playing don't run over the bullet.
And we just kind of kept them. And we kept screwing around with them, but eventually, like, nothing was really happening with the bullets. Mm. And we went to the side of his house, where kind of the dog run was, but it was paved. And he just sat Indian style, if you're allowed to sit that way anymore. And
crisscross
applesauce. Mm. He sat down, I sat down, and we just took a hammer and we beat on that bad boy. We were just beating on it, but I was pounding it in the middle. I didn't know about the primer at the end.
That's probably good.
But eventually went off.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And nobody lost a finger?
No.
Wow.
Lesson not learned.
just beat on a bullet until it went off. I don't know which way it was facing. I don't know if we had any thoughts about that. I don't know what it could do when it's not backed up against, you know, in the chamber.
I don't
know. I don't imagine the bullet would come out with the same effective whatever, but
you leave a bad welt.
You could be shrapnelized or something. God. Anyway,
if you got in the eye, you're fucked.
I just beat on it. We just beat on a bullet with a hammer until it exploded.
That qualifies.
That's the tip of the iceberg, balls. The tip. The stuff I've done on motorcycles, like in the rain and stuff like that. I mean, I've done all the dumbest things in the world.
So your guardian angel was panting back in.
Yeah, I guess. I never really thought of having a guardian angel, but I was really thinking... The other day, I was thinking about it. It's like I had a motorcycle. The motorcycle had a bald back tire. Just I couldn't afford a new back, you know, motorcycle back tire. It's like a novelty item. You have to go to the Honda store or whatever, have it, whatever. I just rode that thing. I rode that thing in the rain. I rode that thing all the time. I never thought about it. I never got clipped or taken out or paralyzed or killed. I cannot tell you how many roofs I jumped off of into swimming pools. I can't tell you how many times I stood on a chimney and did a flip off the pat. Had to clear the patio and land as well. We've done a million of those things. We were on the roof of the Mulholland Club jumping off at night trying to clear the parking lot. And I mean, the patio and the diving board and stuff. We do that stuff. That's all we did.
You rid off shit on your unicycle?
Oh, my God. I'd go off loading docks and picnic tables. All we did was stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. As soon as I got behind the wheel, I started doing crazy, trying to get airborne in my dad's car and Chandler and the train tracks. You know, it's all we did was insane stuff. I can't believe. I mean, my best friend Chris, he beat up a guy on PCH. A guy got in his car and ran him over. Now, thankfully, he's driving a VW Bug, and Chris, like, rolled over it, but he was in the hospital. His kidney was lacerated, a broken arm, and all that stuff.
Jesus.
We just do stupid stuff all the time.
Lawless town.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys I hung out with that just did anything at all times. I mean...
Nor did the military didn't want you.
This street fight, I got a bottle broken over me, hit with a bat. Like, that stuff could have paralyzed me. It could have killed me. I could be deaf in my left ear. Like, Nothing really happened. Maybe I have a guardian angel.
Like you said, no lessons learned.
No lessons were ever learned. By the way, unfortunately, when I hear the stories about, and then he put his hands on the whatever, I'm like, what'd he do? He put his hands on him. So what? That's why everything sounds like a zero burger to me because I've
been
through so much of this stuff and doesn't. Register is
but when did he
bad.
Get shit smacked in his ear? Did that
yeah,
not happen?
Yeah. I know. And man, when they do any of that hazing stuff at football camp, like he took his jock strap and he pulled it over and they held him down. I was like,
that's good. Yeah, he's more
familiar.
Part of the team now.
Yeah, I mean, we used to lock people in the cage in the back and they'd stand up on the lockers and just pee on them. We just trap them back there. Oh. You couldn't do anything.
Salad.
You couldn't get away. There's no way. What about the salad?
Salad was tossed.
Jesus Christ. All right. Let me hit stamps.com. New Year's resolution. Man, they're hard to keep, but here's an easy one. Stop wasting time at the post office. We use stamps.com here. Well, we've used it for 10 years plus. We send out merch. We send out books. We send out paperwork. Mm-hmm. We send out everything with stamps.com. It's like having a post office right on your computer. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, plus 5 cents off every first-class stamp, up to 40% off priority mail. 700,000 small businesses use stamps.com. They got a special offer. It's a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment, no contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the top of the... microphone on the top of the homepage, type in Adam and get your deal. Get the scale, get the 4-week trial, get the free postage. The scale goes up to, I think it's 80 pounds. So stamps.com, enter Adam. Never go to the post office again. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. I have thoughts about why. I'm going to tell you guys why we love dogs like we love dogs right after this.
ACS fans, get it on. The NFL playoffs are here, and you know what that means. We're getting closer and closer to that final Sunday of the season. You've heard Adam rant about pass interference, ball spotting, and field goal posts on the podcast. But now's your chance to experience it live. When you sign up for the newsletter at CorollaNewsletter.com, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to Los Angeles to watch the last game of the season in the Carr Museum with Adam and friends. That's wings, barbecue, plenty of endless rant, and hey, it's Hollywood, so who knows who'll be there? So get to CorollaNewsletter.com today. You and a friend may be flying out to the city of homeless angels to hear Adam rant live about the spread Sal made him bet on. CorollaNewsletter.com. Tonight! It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, guys. I used to make the bed and put on that second sheet and think nothing of it. But now all I can think as I tuck it in is that I'm just like Danny Two Sheets, and then I feel guilty. Thank you for everything you guys do.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, well, we'll talk about, what is it, Iran. Talk about,
there's a lot to talk about.
Lots of some of the Democratic guys have people been tweeting me. I've been saying, let's get Andrew Yang up in here. I want to talk to that guy. And people have been talking to me about talking to him.
And speaking of not seeing race, he's doing very well in the Midwest, filling up those town halls. People really like him.
Well, sorry, I don't.
I was editing a drop.
Yang.
Okay. Yang. Even the Proud Boys love him. That's an endorsement.
Well, here's what I want to say to everybody. The race thing is, we're much more, look, Larry Elder is a very conservative black man, and Barack Obama is a progressive black man. I don't think anyone looks at them the same, or even close the same.
Nor should they.
Nobody looks at Ben Carson and President Obama as the same person, or even close. So everybody you know would go, I'll vote for that guy, I won't vote for that guy. One way or the other, nothing to do with their skin. We look at them how we look at them.
Right.
This notion, like, are we ready for a female? I don't know. Are we ready? I mean, part of us would be ready for Margaret Thatcher, wouldn't be ready for Hillary Clinton. We make way too much about this. You look at the person and you listen to their policies. Mm. And in terms of people you could hang with, you'd hang with somebody who you agreed with from a policy standpoint way before you did with, we're the same color skin, or we come from the same neighborhood, or we have the same mom, same maiden name. Mm-hmm. We do way too much of that. We're way more into what they're about. There's a million examples. You just take black people. There's a million examples of right and left who everyone looks at as totally different. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Well, that's who we are. So Yang will be judged on his policies, I think, ultimately.
That's what people are so down with
yeah.
him.
And he has a level of sincerity, which I like. Seems very. And he has a bit of a sense of humor, which I enjoy as well. All right. So hopefully we'll talk to him in the upcoming weeks. Mike Murphy will come in here. I think he's a political consultant. He's going to help probably make that introduction for us. So Max Pat is talking to Yang's guys, and he's a press guy has assured us that he'll be on our agenda, so we'll get that. All right, Shelby, the premiere is tomorrow night. Still some tickets left, so you can check that out. I think you can go to where should we go? AdamCarolla.com. AdamCarolla.com. You get some tickets. I'll be there. I think Willie T. Ribbs is going to be there. I think Pete Brock, all the Shelby gang will be there, and many of the guys. God. So guys you saw portrayed in Ford v. Ferrari will be there.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
The guy who was the young mechanic who was Ken Miles's sort of right-hand man, and kept saying in the movie, like, Charlie, come over here. Charlie Agapoo's, he'll be there.
Nice.
So you see Charlie. Peter Miles, Ken Miles' son,
who was in the movie. The real son, Peter's going to be there. So see the real people. Let's see. Okay, so why? Why? I had two thoughts. Also have an Ernest D. Bigot as well. This is why Rachel epithet. It's her maiden name.
Nay,
meant epithet. To be.
Yeah, she should hyphenate it, right? Epithet Bigot.
Rachel epithet.
I love making Willie, not Willie, Willie T. Ribs, who people think is a fake name.
Ernest D. Bigot.
Ernest D. Bigot names. Okay. So what's his guy? Oh, he's just asking, right?
No.
Okay. I'll circle back to why people love dogs. Here's why people love dogs. And here's why people hate people and are indifferent about cats. I took Phil out last night. It was about 10 o'clock. He wanted to go out in the backyard and make a pee. And he went out, made a pee. It was like kind of cold. I didn't feel like standing there and waiting for him. So I just shut the sliding door and walked back in to my office. And I had that thing of like, I'll give him 5 minutes and I'll come out and I'll let him in. Of course, started watching TV and answering a tweet.
Oh, no.
And 20 minutes later, I hear, ooh. Phil doesn't bark, but he does do a, hey, over here.
He's as got, much as he can muster.
He's got an over here kind of sound, you know, and it's his bark. But again, he doesn't bark at anybody.
Right.
He's just letting you know he's been outside for too long. So I was like, oh, Phil. Oh, I forgot about Phil. It's cold outside. It's dark. It's cold. He's been out there for half an hour now. And I go out there. And I'm walking toward the door going, oh, sorry, boy, I forgot about you. I forgot about you. And his tail's wagging super hard, right? It's like, and I open the door and he comes in. He's like, thank you. Thank you, boss man. Thank you, boss man. And I thought, he waited out there for a half hour. This is on me. Mm. I forgot about him. He was like, but his tail's wagging hard.
Yeah.
And he couldn't have been happier to see me.
No resentment.
Now, let's compare and contrast that to human beings. Human being is, you are driving, you jump in your car, your modern car, you shut the door, your wife or your kids or your buddy or whatever walk around the passenger side. They do the move where they try to open the door, but the door's locked on their side.
Yep.
And they go, hey, they pull on it once, and you look at them, and you go, oh, okay. And you look down at the console, and you're like, oh, it's a little picture of a padlock. One's locked. The other one's barely unlocked. It's got a pube through it. Like, I can't tell.
And you try both.
You'd go 2/10 of a second. The person yanks on it 5 more times. What the fuck? What's going on? And they're like, those are human beings. They're tail like wagons.
Somebody give me one of these. Like, oh, what's up?
What's up? And it's like,
what's your problem?
I'm going to the restaurant without you, sweetie.
I know we had plans as of 15 seconds ago.
But I'm going to Mexico, and I'm starting a new life. Like, human beings are like, they pull on it like 5 times. Like, they don't get 5 seconds. They get 3 seconds before they start yanking
Hello?
On it. Hello? What's going on? They yank on it violently like 3 more times. And I'm like, dogs. Now, if that was a human being, they'd walk through the door pissed off.
Yeah.
You locked them out. You forgot about them. You screwed them over, arms folded, pissed. What about me? What are you thinking? Blah, blah, blah. So I realized the reason we love dogs is because the dog's just wagging his tail. Like, he's all is forgiven. He's happy to be indoors. He's just happy. You didn't forget about him. You saved him.
Yeah.
That's it.
No,
and they appreciate it. And it's a weird
Stockholm syndrome.
It's a psychological thing, but I was like, I was in my office, I hear like, ooh. I was like, huh? Ooh. Oh, Phil, shit. I feel so bad. It's cold outside. He's been out there for half an hour. And I started walking, and I was like, oh. I started walking, like, oh, God. I locked him outside. And then I saw him, and he's like, wagging. All is forgiven, boss.
So your beef.
I'm just happy to see you.
Your beef is that if you accidentally lock someone in your backyard for half an hour and forgot about them, they'd be pissed.
No, what I'm saying is there are reasons things happen. People forget things. People
mistakes are made.
People have made mistakes. Everybody who's lived with anybody has had that thing where it's like they locked the door and they didn't leave the keys and then you got locked out or whatever. It's all happened to everyone a million times, right?
Tandem parking their cars in back, they go off somewhere.
Right. And
you're,
we've all had that thing where it's like you pulled up parked, got out of your car, were going in to do something just as your wife or your husband or whatever was right. leaving, and then they come up the stairs like in a huff, like, hey, what the fuck with the car? And you're like, it was just a minute, but bad timing. But whatever. They don't really have that tail wagging gene.
No, that's far from it.
That's all I'm saying. I think that's why we love dogs.
Last year when my fiance Andy ran the LA Marathon, which he did not train for, I took his keys. I took his son, took him to a birthday party an hour and a half away, and Andy hobbling up to the house just happy to be there. I had his keys. Mm. Couldn't get in the house. So I appreciate when he finally forgave me.
A dog would be happy. People are pissed, and Kat's like, oh, it's you.
No.
Who are you?
I didn't know you were gone.
I guess I'll come in. Whatever.
You're going to make that big of a deal out of it.
That's why I always hear, like, insecure people can't handle cats, because they're like, you don't There's exist. No gratification. You don't exist to them, no and gratitude. If you need to really exist, that's the wrong beast. All right, let's see. Someone's got a question about Brian Cox, the actor, not the linebacker. I guess.
Well, both.
Oh, sorry. Brian Cox. Oh, it's the same name game. Sorry. I stepped on it. Marco Albany.
Same name game. Brian Cox, the actor, and Brian Cox, the linebacker, giving double middle fingers to the, I believe it was the Buffalo crowd.
Oh, really? Yeah. Brian Cox is crazy, man. He was this big dude.
It's good. He had a shelf behind his neck.
Yeah, it is huge. Wasn't a toilet. Well, literally, it was a toilet seat, but it was the lid. The lid. It was standing straight up in this weird thing that he wore. And
not a lot of other players adopted that. I mean, it must not have been very effective.
Yeah, he was a madman, and he was a big dude. And I remember once doing World's Greatest Sports Show or the Foxes, whatever that. What show was that?
Was it Sports Machine?
No. Max Zapata, what was that round table? Tom Arnold was
Chris
on
Rose?
Yeah.
Best Damn Sports Show.
Best Damn Sports Show. And they're like, I did, and they do a lot of goofy stuff, and I'd be a guest on it all the time. And I went on it, and they're like, hey, you made the hammer, right? You know how to box? And I was like, yeah, I know how to box. And they're like, well, we got the big novelty gloves, right?
The Rock'em Sock'em gloves.
Yeah, the big Rock'em Sock'em gloves. I mean, it would be funny to have a boxing match with Brian Cox.
And I was a world-class athlete?
He's a giant man. Yes. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll give it a try. Like,
you're like, please be Hannibal Lecter. Please be Hannibal Lecter.
Big gloves, right. I'm telling you, I love that Hannibal Lecter. I think I like him more than the second. But I love that movie.
That is the best Lecter movie.
I agree. What's his name is great. But
no, they're both Brian Cox. Brian Cox is a world class actor.
Yeah, he was something extra. Because he wasn't as creepy. He was just sort of polite.
They didn't make him into a monster with the lighting and the dungeon and all that stuff, but it was a different story, obviously.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins and the first Michael Manhunter. Okay. So, me and Brian Cox, they're like, hey, get the big novelty gloves and box Brian Cox. And I'm like, okay, but he's a huge man, but he's also a madman. He's a madman. And so I'm like, okay, well, what they don't tell you about those novelty boxing gloves? How do you think they stay on your hands, if you were to think about it?
Velcro?
Is there a handle inside?
There's a handle inside.
There's two huge.
There's essentially, there's essentially a foot worth of broomstick in there, and you grab them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you have all this nap if you're boxing. But if you're Brian Cox and you're doing a tomahawk,
that's a weapon. Yeah.
You're using it like a tomahawk. I'm getting hit with the goddamn handle.
Can we find footage of that?
I'd very much like to see that.
The handle.
Talk to Arnold.
The handle has no padding on the side. The handle has a piece of vinyl going over it. The rest has foam rubber. Mm-hmm. Brian Cox swinging wildly and pounding me on my head. I'm getting hit with the handle of the thing in the head. Jesus Christ. I remember like almost getting knocked out and like welts and stuff. Like I realized, I'm being hit with a wooden dowel in the top of my head by Brian Cox. He's not hitting me with the padded part. The padding part is good if your form is good, like straight out, straight back. If you're swinging wildly, you're getting hit with the handle. No one really worked that out with the giant foxy.
Right, Brian Cox worked it out.
He worked it out just fine.
Good thing you had that hair.
Yeah,
I had to help.
No kidding, Marco.
Yeah.
Brian Cox. Yeah, you're right.
Right, pretty far apart.
They're pretty far apart. Everyone's far apart from Brian Cox, a linebacker. I think he even went with the Patriots for a while.
Yeah, so the Jets, the most positive. Yeah, he was a big Jets. AFC East guy.
Is it just me or the other Brian Cox? Do Brian Cox and Albert Finney in your mind
confused
the
all
same
the time?
Guy?
All yes. the time,
same guy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. The other thing in life that I found interesting was this is part of should be everyone's New Year's resolution, and it's symbolic for life. But I'll tell you, you guys, tell me if you have it this way. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing these sweatpants last night and
fancy sweats.
And I was wearing
dress sweats.
Yes.
I was wearing shorts and I went on the rowing machine and I had my tennis shoes on and they were tied. And I was like, I got my socks and my shoes and they're tied and I'm wearing trunks, like shorts, like workout shorts. And Sonny was like, oh, we're going out to dinner? And I was like, yeah, let me just get out of my shorts and into my dressy sweatpants. And I know these things are a little bit narrow and a little bit long. And I was like, all right, kick your shoes off, take shorts off, put sweatpants on, put shoes back on. And I was like, nah, I think I can get the sweatpants on over the shoes. I think I could do it.
Everyone thinks they can do it.
And then my other part of my brain was like, hey, boss, these are tight. These are kind of fitted. These aren't big and baggy ones. And
you're
I think I got this. Because I don't have to untie the shoe,
remove the
shoe.
The effort you expend
will
be
far
more.
Then I got to tie the shoe. And before you know it, I was like in my bathroom, hopping on one foot, yanking on the one. And I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what you do. Just kick the goddamn shoes off. Be a human being. Put the sweats on, then put the shoes back on. You're not saving time.
Nope.
You're getting schmutz on the inside of the sweats, and you're fighting it now. And you're taking much longer to do it this way. And I thought, this is symbolic. Yep. You must knock this off. You spent your entire 0 to 30 acting this way. This is what you did. Mm-hmm. When I was 17 or 22, that's exactly what I was doing, spending way more time trying to get the sweats on over the shoes than just doing it right. Yep. Just doing it the way people would do it.
Yep.
No over time, you'll save, over time, you'll save time, you'll save effort.
Seems.
Heartache.
It's also just there's sort of a right way to do things, and you're trying to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's biting you in the ass.
Yeah.
People do this with like, hey, you can declare yourself a sovereign nation and never pay taxes again. Like they do a lot of that and it doesn't work.
Right.
It's just what, or they do it with parking tickets or whatever. It's just, there's just, you just do it. Do it right. Got the parking ticket. Send it out. There you go.
Done.
Yep. Like just get into that mode.
Which is why when you find that one life hack that works, because, you know, 20 of them don't work. When we find the one that does, you're like, ooh, hold on to that one. It's so satisfying.
Well, you know, me doing the 66 seconds in the microwave versus 60, the amount of time it takes to lift my finger and go down to the zero.
Oh, my God. You could live a whole lifetime.
Oh, over the course of years?
Yeah.
That's like 80 seconds.
What are you going to do with that time, man?
I don't
have thought about it.
I'm going to get my sweatpants on over my shoes. All right. Let's see. We have our guest here, so we'll talk to him. I'm going to plug my newsletter, and we'll talk to Mike Murphy about all things politics. It's arrived. CorollaNewsletter.com. So you can... get highlights from the week, behind-the-scenes stories, discounts, deals, exclusive videos as well, and of us and the gang. And you sign up at CorollaNewsletter.com. You will automatically be entered to win a trip to L.A. to watch the big game with yours truly. And Kimmel will be there. And actually, when I talked to Matt Damon last, I was like, come on by and watch the Super Bowl over at the Car Museum. And he said, see you then.
Now we're talking.
We'll see if that works. Anyway, you and a friend could be coming out to the Car Museum to watch us some football at CorollaNewsletter.com. All right. Mike Murphy here to talk all things politics, and we'll talk to him right after this.